Amen. All right. Good to be saved.
Amen.
All right. Let's stand. And most of you are standing. Go ahead and take your Bibles out. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Very last chapter in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. We're going to start reading at verse number 17 and read the last five verses in the Bible and in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, beginning reading at verse number 17 this morning. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And from the things which are written in this book, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. With God's help, I want to preach on this subject this morning. Last things in the last book. We're going to look at some last things in the last book at the end of our perfect word of God. Brother Russell, would you pray for the message this morning?
Heavenly Father, again, just want to come to you. Just want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you just be with this message now. I want to thank you for the reading of your word.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I pray now that you be with Brother Dennis. Pray that you just lift him up, fill him with your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. Use his mouth, dear Lord. I pray that you just be with the congregation.
Yes. Yes.
I pray that they don't cloud the mind, dear Lord. I pray that you would rebuke our flesh.
Yes.
And be attentive to your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Just be with us now. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you. May be seated this morning. What I want us to do is I want us to look at the last five verses in the last book of the Bible and in the Bible itself, how it ends. I want to say this morning, by way of introduction, I think it's very interesting how our Lord chooses to end his book. He ends it with some final things. Five things we'll look at. He ends his book with a final invitation, a final warning, a final prayer, a final prophecy, and a final reminder. Now, if you look in here in the Bible, and you read your Bible, and if you've ever read it very much, you know that the Bible contains many warnings, and it contains many prayers, and the Bible contains many different types of prophecies. But I think it's important to look at the last prayer, and the last prophecy, and the last warning. I mean, God gets ready to end his book. He's not just ending the book of Revelation. He's ending the Bible. He's getting ready to end his Bible, and it's not... God doesn't just do something by coincidence, okay? The last five things that he gives us in that book apparently are important. Now listen, all of the Word of God is important. Every bit of it is important. But I'm telling you, I think we should take special look at when he wants to give you five last things. What is it that he gives you before he just ends the book? And I think these things are important. I was thinking about what if I had a chance to say only a few things to my family and friends before I died. What would I want to get across and what would I want to say? Now, obviously the Lord didn't die, but this was his last word. Listen, this is the word of God and there's not going to be anything else. This is it. And so when he gets ready to give his final words, these are the final words that he has in here for us. And I think that it'd do us some good as God's people to take note of when he's ending his book, he's ending his, what he's going to ever say to us. What does he want us to know right there at the end? So That's what I want us to look at. And probably this will be a two-part message. I don't think I'll get through with it all this morning. I'd rather not try to push it, not try to rush it. I'd rather quit with plenty of time left than keep on and keep on and you check out on me about halfway through it. Amen? So you stay with me and let's look at it. All right, first thing we're going to look at. Here we go. The last things in the last book. You have the very, number one, you have the very last invitation given right here. When God gets ready to wrap his book up, he gives you the last invitation. Now, it's the last invitation found in the Bible. And by the way, there are many different kinds of invitations you find in the Bible. Sometimes people are invited to eat with somebody in the Bible. Sometimes they're invited to lodge with somebody in the Bible. But when God gets ready to end this thing, he ends it with an invitation. And this is the last invitation you will read in your Bible that invites a man to come to Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus Christ is getting ready to end this thing, one of the very last things he does is he gives another invitation. He gives another invitation for you to come to him. Boy, don't you think he thinks that's important? This is your last, listen, this is the last invitation you read in the Bible to come to Christ. The Bible says in verse number 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The last invitation in the Bible is the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice who all gives the invitation. First of all, the Bible says the Spirit says, come. You know who the Spirit is? That's the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is on this earth right now, convicting and calling men to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling you to come. He's telling you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope he's in this building right now if there's somebody here that's not saved. But you have the Spirit of God down here on this earth, dealing with men, inviting them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking yesterday about something, and I think sometimes we as Bible believers, because we preach so hard, we have to preach hard. Most of the Bible is negative, and there's a lot of, if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, you got to preach against wickedness and against sin. But I think sometimes when we preach about the judgment seat of Christ and preach about God, we portray Jesus or God up there in heaven as some kind of ogre with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head. I'm going to tell you, if you reject Christ, he'll boot you off into hell forever. If you don't do right in your Christian life, you won't have a barbed wire crown at the judgment seat of Christ. That's all very true. But if there's anybody pulling for you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not wanting to judge you. God's wanting to show you grace and mercy. And the Holy Spirit ain't sitting down here dormant, not doing anything. The Holy Spirit is down here convicting and saying, come, and whosoever will, let him come. He's asking you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I go away, but I'll send a comforter. And he's drawing me into the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, the Holy Spirit is way more interested in you coming to Christ than even you are. You got to understand that. God did all he could for you to go. That's why hell is so severe and so bad and so unimaginable, because God has done so much and made it so easy for you to go to heaven. So if you reject that and thumb your nose up at God and just say, man, I don't care, I don't want none of that, then let me tell you something. There's nothing for you but a bad eternity. A painful, a horrible eternity in hell. Jesus Christ, God gave his all. He gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ gave it all. He gave his life. And that's why even after that, then he has the Holy Spirit come down here who's saying, come, come. He's inviting men to Christ. Some of you in here that's been saved, do you remember the night you got saved? Do you remember the day you got saved? Maybe it was in the church. Maybe it was in a service like this. Maybe it was by a catfish pond. Maybe it was at work or whatever. But you felt the Holy Ghost of God say, come, come to Christ. You remember what that was like? He didn't have to give you a second thought, but the Holy Ghost of God was drawing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, come. Not only the Spirit says, come, the bride says, come. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride of Christ, church? We are. I know technically when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, the bride's already in heaven. We've been raptured out, but this seems to refer back. A lot of this stuff you look at right here, it's like he goes back and it's, you can be dealt with us in the church age. And I'm just telling you that the bride says, come, and I wonder how many of us in the bride are saying, come. We have some folks go out on the street Friday night, passing out tracts, telling folks, come to Jesus. We were preaching, saying, come to Jesus. We were holding up signs that said, basically, come to Jesus. My wife held up a sign that said, Christ is our hope. And then it's the church's job, to get out there and say, come to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we're not filling the church up every Sunday here with sinners. They're not interested in coming here. We've got to go meet them. We've got to go get them. And too many churches say, you know, we want our church like this, and we don't want any outsiders coming in, and we want to have it. Listen, that's not how Christ looks at the thing. We'll be going outside these buildings, trying to get people saved, trying to get them in. It's our job and it's our duty. It's our responsibility. And a church is not a true functioning New Testament local church if it's not actively engaged and trying to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be passing out tracts. You ought to be calling people. You ought to be writing for people. You ought to be praying for people. That's why we give the missions. We're telling people, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride says, come. Notice what it says. Let him that hears say, come. Just anybody that hears it. Be saved or lost. He says, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this. And let him that is athirst come. If you're here this morning and you're thirsty for the Lord Jesus Christ and you can't get anything to quench that thirst, come to him. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Over there in John 4:14, when Jesus is talking, he says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He can calm your thirst for the things of this world. He can quench it rather. So he says, come. And then I like this. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a free gift. Whosoever will. The last invitation in the Bible is Jesus Christ saying, come. It's the Holy Spirit inviting you to come. It's the church saying, come. And you know who it's open to? Who is this invitation extended to, church? Whosoever will. Let him, it's not his will that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come into repentance. I'll say this before I move on to my next point. I don't think it's no coincidence I'm preaching this to somebody today. I don't like to do this, but I'm going to say this. This could perhaps, what we're looking at today, is the last invitation in the Bible, the last invitation given to men that you read in your book to come to Jesus. And I just wonder if the Lord's allowed me to preach this today because somebody, everybody look at me, somebody is getting their last invitation today to come to Christ. He'll invite you, he'll convict you. But when he's finished with you, and listen, you ain't just going to come to God whenever you want to. You're going to come when you're drawn to him. It don't matter. He may take you today. You may meet God today. He may be finished dealing with you today. But I just don't think it's no coincidence that on this Sunday morning, I'm preaching the last time you're invited to come to Jesus Christ. And I just wonder if there's somebody here that God's asking you one more time. And buddy, if you don't get in today, that's it. You're going to hell when you die. I don't care if you live 20 more years on this earth. God's going to reprobate you and cut you off today because you've sat in this church and you've heard the gospel over and over and over and over and you've rejected it over and over and over. And God said, buddy, I'm going to give you one more chance today. And if you don't get in today, that's it. I don't know that, but I sure wonder it. One more point today. We'll only have time to cover two. That's the last invitation in the Bible. Number two, there's one last warning given in the Bible. You know, the Bible's full of warnings, ain't it? The Bible's warning you of all kinds of things, but when Jesus gets ready to give you one last warning, when God gets ready to give you one last warning in the Bible about anything, just one last warning, do you know what that warning's about? It's about messing with that book. The very last warning that God gives out in His Bible is about you fooling with that book. Look there in verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Listen, have you read about the plagues that are in the book of Revelation? Good gracious almighty. And, verse number 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now, it didn't say he should take his, it said take his part out. Not his name, it says part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, listen, he is more specifically talking about fooling with the things written in this book, the book of Revelation. But boy, this thing is implied to the whole Bible. You don't add a word to the Bible, and you don't subtract a word from the Bible. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that because you have three warnings in your Bible about fooling with God's Word. One of them is toward the beginning of the Bible. One of them's toward the middle of the Bible. And then you got this one right here at the end of the Bible. The one at the beginning is Deuteronomy 4:2. It says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, and neither shall ye diminish all from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And then right in the middle, the book of Proverbs chapter 30 verse number 6, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. See, when you fool with God's word, you're the one that's wrong. You're the liar. All the Greek scholars that fool with this, they're the liars. God's the one that's true. Let every man be a liar and God be true. So you look at all this and this warning here is about fooling with the word of God. It's about adding and taking away from the Bible. You get your part taken out of the book of life. Now, here we go again. This is the same old... Some of you are going to say same old song and dance or whatever. Listen, you know what we believe here. You know what we stand on here. And people criticize our church. And people criticize me. And people have their say about me. Because we believe the King James Bible is a perfect word of God. And we believe the rest of that trash is corrupt. Amen. And there's churches around us that ain't got pastors that's going to stand on it. And of course those churches are growing. They're going to grow. It's everybody bring in whatever version you want to, a perversion rather, and just read out of it. Let's just all get together and have a big old nice hoot nanny. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of idiots down there at Pleasant Grove, and they got some kind of flaming crazy man leading them in the pulpit teaching all this stuff. Now listen, the crazy thing is they'll get on Facebook and say, run their mouth, and out in the community and run their mouth, but none of them, not one, listen, we had two King James Bible conferences back in 2011 when we celebrated the 400 year anniversary of the King James Bible. We couldn't get none of that crowd to come to either one of them. Won't none of them sit down and talk with me. Won't none of them give me 5 minutes to talk with them or show them anything. They won't even listen. But they'll go out and run their mouth about how messed up we are as a church in our stand on the King James Bible. Now listen. I'm just going to give you a few things because you better not listen to your friends at work. You better not listen to your neighbors. You better not listen to your kin folks. You better listen to what God says. God takes it serious with you fooling with His book. And when you fool with His words and you take away from His words and add to His words, God's not going to hold you guiltless for fooling with that. And I'm going to give you a few things I've already given you before. And listen to me. I got the stuff right here. Any of you say, well, Brother Dennis, I don't believe what you're fixing to tell me. You're just making that up. You're just shooting that off your hip. Hey, man, listen. There's a printer back there in that office. When the thing's over, come get the paper, print it out, go home. Don't do like the rest of these folks around here and run your mouth and everything. Go home, get you a King James Bible, borrow an NIV from somebody, dig it out of the trash or whatever, compare the versions and see who's telling you the truth. Don't get on Facebook with the rest of that crowd and run your mouth about what I believe and you've never even looked at it. Look at the thing. The King James Bible, just give you a few things and let you go here this morning. The King James Bible has 790,704 words. The NIV has 726,606 words. There are 64,098 words less in the NIV than the King James. Oh, and the New King James, everybody likes, oh, the New King James, it's just a little bit different than the King James. That's baloney. Here are some words that are found in the King James Bible that are not found in the New King James. The word Jehovah, missing. New Testament, missing. Damnation, missing. Devils, listen. Repent is missing 44 times from what it is in the King James Bible. You don't repent, you'll go to hell. You don't change your mind about your lost condition and who Jesus Christ is, you won't go to heaven. The word blood is taken out 23 times in the New King James Bible as compared to King James Bible. The word hell taken out 22 times in the New King James Bible as compared to the King James Bible. Replaced with the word Hades. Well, it's easy to understand, hell or Hades. All right, let me give you some things here. This one I'm going to do, just read them off randomly. You listen to me now, and if you think Brother Dennis is full of baloney, you come up here and get it and check it out for yourself. Don't be like the rest of that crowd running their mouth about me and all and folks around the association, everybody, Brother Dennis, he's crazy. He's King James. Don't run your mouth. Look at the evidence. I'm going to read the scripture to you out of the King James Bible, then I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. That's the most popular version. The NIV, the New American Standard, they're all about the same. They translated from the same Greek text. Here we go. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. You think that's an important scripture? The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. I'm going to read it in the New International Version. I read it. Gone. Not even in the Bible. Took it out. Colossians 1:14. Now listen, folks. Wake up. Some of you's asleep on me now. I don't want but 5 or 10 more minutes, but you wake up and listen. Colossians 1:14. It says in the King James, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Here it is in the New International Version. "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Did it leave out anything? What did it leave out? You ain't going to heaven except through the blood of Christ. Here we go. I'm going to read this in the King James. Acts 8:37. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's Acts 8:37 in the King James. Here we go. I'm going to read it in the NIV. Yeah. I read it. Yeah. Gone. Took it out. But I'm the crackpot. I'm the crazy one. I'm the hell raiser. Luke 4:4. Here we go. Luke 4:4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's King James. Notice now, NIV, man does not live on bread alone. It left out, "but by every word of God." Wicked, wicked, wicked. I don't care if your mom and daddy does read it. I don't care if your favorite preacher does read out of it. Bless God, he's wrong. 1 John 4:3. "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." NIV. "Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." They left out Christ come in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says. They leave that out. Here you go. Here you say, listen, everything I'm fixing to give you, there's no these or thous in. Now, we may go a little longer than we usually do, but you just sit back. You need to hear this. Hosea 11:12. Hosea 11:12. Here it is in the King James Bible. Listen to me now. So you got to listen to catch this stuff. But Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints. NIV. Judah is unruly against God, even against the faithful Holy One. Two different things. But I'm the crackpot. I'm the one that's causing problems. Just go up there and ask the Association of Missionaries, Southern Baptists. I'm the one that's causing the problems. Nobody won't even look at it. But I'm the crazy one. Here we go. Psalm 10:5, King James Bible. This is what King James says. His ways are always grievous. NIV. His ways are always prosperous. If you think I'm telling you a lie, get you a Bible and look at it. Get you a Bible and look at it. Don't take my word for it. Go get you a Bible and look at it. Here we go. Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain. We know that, don't we? We know when the north wind comes, it pushes rain out. Apparently, the NIV hadn't talked to Rich Thomas up there in WSFA 12. Because this is what the NIV says. As a north wind brings rain. King James Bible says it takes it away. They say it brings it. Look here. Colossians 2:18. Here. Proverbs 26:22. King James Bible. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. NIV. This, I can't even hardly believe it. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. You know what gossip is? It's like eating some good food there. Here you go. 1 Corinthians 1:18, King James. But unto us which are saved. Here's the new King James. But unto us who are being saved. What do you mean you're being saved? You ain't working for your salvation. You're either saved or you're not. Here you go. Daniel. Hey. Who was that in the furnace with the three Hebrew children? Daniel 3:25, King James. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Capital S, Son of God. NIV. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Plural. Look it up, man. I'm not shooting you a line. Look it up. Some of you's looking at me like that preacher's lines. He's just trying to get us mad with everybody. Man, there's so many of these. Here's your good one. Boy, this is going to crack you up. Here we go. This is King James Bible, Proverbs 30:28. And by the way, have I mentioned a thee or a thou yet? How many of you said that there ain't no difference in the versions? They just take the thees and the thous out where you can understand. Anybody ever told you that? All right, I'm not going to mention a thee or a thou in the next. Give me, please just give me 5 more minutes. Proverbs 30:28, King James Bible. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. NIV. A lizard can be caught with a hand, yet is found in king's palaces. You don't believe me, do you? You think I'm making this up, don't you? Go get you a book. But Brother Dennis is just trying to split the body of Christ. Brother Dennis is just trying to make a big deal out of nothing. Oh, by the way, who killed Goliath? Any of you little kids know who killed Goliath? Anybody? Yes, who killed Goliath, Kennedy? David killed Goliath. I'm sorry, honey, but not according to the NIV. Some of you take an NIV and look up 2 Samuel 21:19, and it tells you that Elhanan killed Goliath. Now, I've heard some folks, when I mention that, they say, yeah, but in another place in NIV, it says that David killed him. That's even worse. You've got your own contradiction in your Bible. I don't help you. I don't help you none. Bunch of idiots. King James Bible. The wicked were forgotten in the city. That's Ecclesiastes 8:10. NIV. The wicked received praise in the city. Is that different? Y'all think that's different? Listen, you know what? I ain't going to keep on with this. I ain't going to belabor the point. Here's the thing. If you want the information, anybody want to print it out? Anybody want to look at it? Here it is. Check it out. Use a copier. Help yourself. Go along with your buddies. Go along with these other churches here in Red Level. I don't care if they are growing. I don't care what they're doing. Go along with everybody else. Help yourself. But know one thing. Your preacher has warned you about fooling with the Word of God. And I don't think it's by accident that it's come out like that. All those other Bibles are nothing but a pile of junk that the devil has inspired. I'm not saying those folks that use them and read them aren't saved. I'm not saying they don't love God. Some of them are ignorant, but some of them's ignorant willingly because they won't look at it. And some of the preachers won't look at it because they know if they do, they're going to lose their church. They're going to lose face and they're going to lose their paycheck. And they're going to have problems. I'm going to stand on that book whether anybody else stands on it or not. And if you come to this church and you can't bear the reproach for standing for the perfect Word of God, you might need to find you somewhere else to go. We're going to preach it heavy. We're going to preach it hard. We're going to stand on it. And we don't give a rip what anybody else in this county believes or says. Because they're too lazy and cotton-picking stupid. That's a good word, too. To look at it. And if a man's going to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I don't have much grace with a fellow that's so prideful that he won't even look at it. If you come to me and you say, brother, I don't know no better. I didn't know any better. Show me something. That's one thing. That's one thing. Listen, somebody show. I didn't learn. Listen, the very first Bible I ever owned was a children's living Bible. Somebody come by and sold us a family Bible. My mama remembers that big red Bible with pictures and all in it. That was some kind of living something or another. Well, no, King James. When I went to Bible college, they didn't believe it. First thing they do is send you to the bookstore to get a New American Standard version. I'm not believing this by prejudice. I'm not believing it by preference. I'm believing it because I sat down and looked at it and found the differences. Now, here we go. Two things, and we're fixing to close this morning. I'll finish this message next Sunday. The last invitation to that Bible is for you to get saved. And if you're not saved here today, this may wind it up for you, pal. You better get up here and get saved. And I'm telling you, some of you thinking about dropping this thing and it just don't matter. One version is good as another. And I don't want to bear the reproach. And Brother Dennis is half crazy preaching on this and thinking about this. Let me tell you something. You better reconsider. You better reconsider. I believe you're going to be in trouble with God if you face Him having fool with His book.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed.